It flows from his free love, free and gracious love, his mercy. Amen. Okay, so just looking at those first few quotes, we could probably start thinking, wow, how desperately I am and I was of God's need, my need for God's mercy. Amen. Wayne Grudem, in his systematic theology, he shares that that God's mercy, in fact, God's mercy, his grace, and his patience, they can be seen as three separate attributes or specific aspects of God's goodness. You remember we had with our brother Aaron, we had the equipping hour on God's goodness. So Grudem says that actually we can think of God's mercy, his grace, and his patience as three separate attributes coming from God's goodness. And he gives three definitions, the way that he puts it, for these three. There are specific examples coming from God's goodness. He says, God's mercy means God's goodness toward those in misery and distress. Okay? God's mercy means God's goodness toward those in misery and distress. God's grace means God's goodness towards those who deserve only punishment. God's grace means God's goodness towards those who only deserve punishment. Okay? And God's patience means God's goodness in withholding punishment toward those who sin over a period of time. Okay? So he says that these three characteristics of God's nature are often mentioned together, especially in the Old Testament. You'll remember Exodus 34:6, where God declared his name to Moses, and he said, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Okay, so God's mercy. Is what we'll be focusing on today, okay? And that's what we're going to do. Let's start now. So let's look at a couple of definitions, actually uses of how the word mercy is translated to us from, you have there on your list, three, oh boy. I have it here too, sorry. I'm trying to look at the paper copy, but it's a lot smaller. Good thing you guys have better eyesight than I do. Anyway, so these three, the first two there, you see I had the bulleted list there, Kesed and Rakum, okay? Those two are from the Hebrew, and they're used in the Old Testament, describing God's mercy, okay? And Kesed is a more familiar one. It's probably the most general one used to depict God's mercy. We translate in our Bible as mercy, or tender compassion, okay? Mercy is translated as mercy or tender compassion. The other word, rakam, is more translated as tender mercy. It's more a tender compassion. It's the thought of a tender compassion, and it's that's how it's translated in our English Bibles as tender mercy, okay? When we come to the New Testament, in the Greek and in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, okay? The word is eleos, okay? And that is the word for mercy, okay? And then Grudem says, if the grace of God considers man guilty before God and therefore in need of forgiveness, the mercy of God considers him as one who is bearing the consequences of sin, who is in a pitiable condition, and who therefore needs divine help. Okay? Okay. Sorry, excuse me. Let me give credit to where credit is correctly due. I apologize. That was actually Louis Burkhoff. Grudem was giving you the three, the relationship between mercy, grace, and patience, but Louis Burkhoff is the one that said, if the grace of God considers man guilty before God and therefore in need of forgiveness, the mercy of God considers him as one who is bearing the consequences of sin, who is in a pitiable condition, and who therefore needs divine help, okay? So let's start looking into that. Let's look and see what the Bible says about this. So let's take and look at some examples. And A.W. Pink, you'll probably recall some, and we have a couple of quotes from him as well. But he wrote, in talking about God's mercy, that we see in the Bible two main categories. One, a mercy for his creation, for all his creation, and another mercy, a special mercy for his own people. Okay, let's take a look at that you have there. The mercy of God, and your first blank there, the mercy of God for all his creation. That's what we're going to look at. The mercy of God for all his creation, okay? So A.W. Pink says that there is a general mercy when he's talking about these two main categories. There is a general mercy of God, which is extended not only to people, to all people, believers and unbelievers alike, but also to the entire creation, okay? So it's a mercy that is extended to everyone, okay? Believers, unbelievers alike, but also to all of creation. Burkhoff, he says, God's tender mercies are over all his works, and even those who do not fear him share in them. Okay? A couple of scriptures, you have them there. Psalm 145 speaks of God's being good to all, and his compassions are over all his works, right? Over all creation. Acts 17:25, you have there as well. Just remember, this was when Paul was in Athens and witnessing to all these philosophers, these high-end thinkers, and he was actually rebuking them for their ignorance of who the true God is. And he mentions in Acts 17:25, he says, he himself, God, gives to all people life and breath and all things, okay? So this is part of God's mercy for all his creation. So God, in for his creation, he supplies all that is needed, all suitable provision, all to exist. And this general mercy for all of God's creation, and to all mankind, in fact, it helps and supports man, right? God provides for all the necessities of life. In other words, he provides everything that is needed for life, okay? Matthew 5:45, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Remember Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. So all benefit to an extent of God's mercy, okay? And then later in the Gospel of Matthew, let's turn there, Matthew 15:32. So later in Matthew's Gospel, there were occasions that Jesus was moved with compassion for the people to heal them and feed them even. And we see this when the crowds would follow Jesus, where he would go from town to town or area to area, they would follow him on foot. And Matthew 14, we read that Jesus felt compassion for them and healed their sick. And then here in Matthew 15, when Jesus was about to feed the 4,000, can someone read Matthew 15:32, please?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Jesus felt compassion on the people. They had been following him for days, 3 days, he says, and they had nothing to eat. So he felt compassion, and he didn't want to send them away hungry, lest they get faint away there, he says. So there's that tender compassion, even though we know that all these, but many of them, in fact, we read here in Matthew, and also, and you recall in John, when Jesus read, would feed the crowds, people, they were only, a lot of people were only after him to see what they could get. They really didn't believe in Jesus. They wanted to see miracles. They wanted to get fed, but they really didn't want to follow him as Savior, okay? But yet, Jesus had compassion on them, and he was feeding people, healing people, amen? Okay, so all of mankind benefits from God's mercy to an extent, okay? But now we're going to that special mercy of God, okay? So number two, bullet point number two, the special mercy of God. Let's take a look at how God's special mercy for his own people. We see examples of that in his word. The God who is merciful and compassionate, okay? So in God's sovereignty, he does show this special mercy, a special mercy for those who are his own. And these are the ones that are reserved for salvation. These are the ones that are come to him to be saved, to understand this salvation through a mediator, as A.W. Pink puts it, okay? Martin Lloyd-Jones, many of you perhaps have read some Martin Lloyd-Jones. Martin Lloyd-Jones said that the mercy of God is the loving kindness of God, the tender compassion of God. And he says that God is merciful means that he is sensitive to us in our weaknesses and troubles. He responds to our miseries with tender pity. Okay? Remember we saw earlier in Exodus 34 about how God, when he spoke and he said, the Lord is a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. He was actually telling guilty Israel, because they were guilty of sin, he was telling them this, that he was merciful. Later after, he was telling them, I am merciful and compassionate. And that word, rakam, is actually related to another word for merciful that expresses a compassion of a mother or a father for a child, okay? For example, in Isaiah, we read, we would read in Isaiah 49, when God said, can a woman forget her infants and have no compassion on the son of her womb? And even if these may forget, I will not forget you. So we see this tender compassion as a parent that God has for his own. And we also see this in Luke chapter 1. Let's turn there. Someone can help me read there. Luke chapter 1, we see this tender, compassionate mercy of God. When Mary was magnifying God, praising God for his salvation, what did she say in Luke 1:54? Anyone?
He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy.
Mm-hmm. So God has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. How about if we scroll down or look down in your page there to verses 77 and 78. Can someone read that?
To give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, mm-hmm. because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sun rises from on high.
Amen. Thank you, sister. Yes, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. Why? Because of the tender mercy of our God. Okay, amen. Great. Okay. So, the God who is merciful with tender pity. Let's turn to Psalm 103. And let's start at verse 6. 103:6. And we'll go from 103:6 to 14, please. Could someone read that?
The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
Mm-hmm.
Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he himself knows our frame. He is mindful that we are
but dust. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sis. Take another look at verses 13 and 14 with me. As a father has compassion or pity on his children, so Yahweh has compassion or pity on those who fear him. For he himself knows our form. He remembers that we are but dust. Get that picture again of that compassion and that pity and that. If we would stop and just try to understand that magnitude of God's compassion, His mercy upon us. Me thinking about this, just meditating on Him a little bit, it just brought me to think of just trying to understand how great that God's mercy is. I think pretty much everybody here, if you don't have little ones or grandkids, you have at least younger siblings or maybe nieces, nephews, but we've all had to, out of our love for them, we've all had to discipline them, right? And I was just sharing this with Rose the other day, even though our granddaughter the other day, I had to discipline her, it hurt me to do so because I know it was not pleasurable for her. But out of my love for her, I had to discipline her. But yet, even in doing that, I felt compassion for her. I felt it was tough for me to do it. I didn't want to do it, but I had to. I had to say, no, Mama, if you're going to treat your little brother like that, then this is the discipline you have to have. So if we feel that way, if we, you know, out of our love for our little ones, we can't even imagine how God, in His compassion, how great His mercy is for us, even when we sin, even when we fail Him, even when we rebel like Israel did time and time and time again. God had compassion on them. He had mercy. And it says, because He remembers, He knows us, He has compassion and pity on us. Amen. Praise God. Okay. I think we better hoof it a little bit because time's flying. So let's look at a couple of examples of God's active compassion towards those in misery. Okay? And let's go to Matthew. How about if we read Matthew 15:22? Let's go to Matthew 15:22. Yeah. So these are examples. We're looking at God's examples of his compassion towards us or to those who are in misery. Again, remember that in the Greek, in the New Testament, eleos is translated mercy. And here we've seen that mercy with kindness. It's with a kind mercy to those who are in misery, to those who are in desperate need. Can someone read Matthew 15:22? Thank you, brother. A Canaanite woman came from a region out from came and began to cry out, saying, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon possessed." We just talked about our little ones. How many times have we all said this? I would rather be sick. I would rather be so sick than my child or my grandchild to be sick. I would rather that I be sick. Can you imagine how this lady felt? She was in such a situation. She had no, and she cried out. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Canaanite woman. She said, "Lord, Son of David." She acknowledged him as King. Son of David, King, have mercy. Have mercy on me, Lord. My little one's suffering. And we know Jesus did. He healed that poor baby. He cast that demon out. How about Matthew 17:14? Could someone read that, please?
And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls in the fire and often into the water."
Thank you, brother. Again, someone coming to the Lord, begging him for mercy on his child. And Jesus, again, out of his compassion toward those in misery, toward those who were suffering, he healed the child. Amen. How about the two, the lepers in Luke 17? Remember, Jesus entered this village. It says, and he entered the village, and 10 leprous men who stood at a distance met him. Of course, they had to stand afar off because they would have to, if they went anywhere near people, you remember how they would have to say unclean, unclean. They couldn't even come into the city. But they stood at a distance from Jesus, and they raised their voices saying, "Master, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." They were not only in misery, but they're in a pitiful condition. And Jesus was the only one who could heal. And he did. Does anyone remember what happened after that? Yes, sister, amen. Yes, out of 10, only one came back to thank Jesus. But they were all in the same condition. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Matthew 20, 30 and 30. This is where the two blind men were sitting by the side of the road. And when they heard Jesus was passing by, they cried out, saying, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." Again, acknowledging him as King, as Messiah. But the crowd sternly told them to be quiet. Did they listen? Nope. But they cried out all the more, saying, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Again, helpless unless Jesus healed them. And he did. Okay. Keep looking at the clock. Okay, so there's a few more examples. These are of people that God is merciful to in their misery or their distress. Okay, In Hebrews 4, the author of Hebrews, he tells us that we should draw near to the throne of grace. Why? So that we may receive mercy and find grace in to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, 16, no doubt that's probably some of you, some of our favorite scripture, right? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 talks of Jesus as, or God, the Father of mercies and God of all comforts. Okay, to where we turn. Let's look at Psalm 86. If someone could read verses 4 and 5, please. Psalm 86. Again, here, God in his mercy, he shows himself as compassionate. He shows himself as someone who, as the one who pities those who are in misery, and he is ever ready to relieve their distress. And his mercy here, we see, is abundant, an abundant mercy. Psalm 86, 4 and 5. Someone read that, please.
Make glad the soul of your slave. For to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. For you, Lord, are good, and by nature forgiving, and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Amen. There's only one who will refresh our soul, bring joy to our soul. David says, it is you, Lord, who lifts up my soul because you are good and by nature forgiving, and you are abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. Mm-hmm. Good. Okay, good. So I think we're getting there. Make it there to this last section here. Okay, so section number three, bullet point number three. Anyone want to guess what it is? It's going to be a pop quiz. Blank to the mercy of God. So we've heard of God's tender compassion, his mercy, his loving kindness, his compassion upon those who are in a pitiable condition. So our response to the mercy of God, what is our response to be to the mercy of God? Okay, our response to the mercy of God should be in two ways. Two ways we should respond to our Lord for his incredible mercy upon us. One, it should be shown to others. It should be extended to others. And two, there should be an incredible amount of thankfulness to our Lord. Amen? Let's look at a couple of these scriptures, okay? Let's go with Matthew 18, 23 to 35. Matthew 18. We don't have to read the whole thing. We'll just actually, you can just turn there if you want to refresh your memory. We'll just share on it. You guys, I think everyone remembers this teaching when Jesus was teaching on forgiveness. Amen? So this master had two servants, and one owed him had a debt that he just simply could not pay. You remember how Jesus told it. He had a debt he could not pay at all. It was just such an incredible amount. He could work all his life. He would never pay it. It was just astronomical amount of money. So the master said, okay, well, take him and throw him into the debtor's prison until he works it off. And the servant, the slave, fell on his knees and he begged his master. No, please, be patient with me and I'll pay you everything I owe, right? So the master had mercy on him, and he forgave him. But what did this same servant, the same slave, what did he do in return when he went and found one of his fellow servants, one of his fellow slaves, who owed him a small amount of money? You guys have a good picture memory. Yes, he grabbed him by the throat and he threatened him. He says, "You pay me what you owe me, or you're going to go into debtor's prison." And the response was the same. "Have mercy. Have patience with me. I'll pay you everything I owe you." But what was his response? Throw him in prison. Not only him, his family, everybody. Throw him in there until they pay me what I owe. Yeah, for a small amount of compared to the massive debt he owed, the unpayable debt he owed. So when word got back to the master, this certainly did not make his master happy. And he called that servant to him, and what did he tell him? "You wicked servant." The wickedness of you unable to forgive a fellow servant for this little debt after what I did for you? Okay? You didn't have no compassion to forgive that small debt? Okay? So what is Jesus teaching here? Jesus is teaching us this massive debt that you would never pay for in eternity. Your sin, I've forgiven you. And if you cannot forgive your own brother or sister for a teeny little offense, what does that say? Does it? It certainly doesn't please him, does it? No. We've been forgiven so much. Sometimes I like to think of it like, dream on, Sam. But if I were a billionaire and somebody stole $100 from me, what should my response be? Here's another 100, right? And here, the Lord of glory has forgiven us an eternal debt, a debt that would put us in eternal death, and we still wouldn't pay it off. But he's forgiven us. He forgave that debt by his work on the cross. So we must forgive as well. We must have mercy as for others as well, right? One more. Colossians 3:12. How about if somebody help me read that one? Colossians 3:12. We are to put on a heartfelt compassion. Okay? We are to put on a heartfelt compassion to reflect that compassion, that mercy that was shown us by our Savior. Colossians 3:12 and 13. As the elect of God, God, the ones that God chose you. He loves you, the beloved of him. He tells you, he says, put on a heart of compassion, a heart of mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing, there's a tough one, bearing with one another and graciously forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord graciously forgave you, so also should you. Amen? So also we should forgive. We should be compassionate. We should be gracious. We should forgive. Okay, last section, thankfulness. Thankfulness. A.W. Pink said this. He said, "It is not the wretchedness of the creature which causes him," that is God, "it is not the wretchedness of the creature which causes him to show us mercy. It is pure sovereign grace, which alone determines the exercise of his divine mercy. We know this as Romans 9:15 says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not, doesn't depend on how wretched we are, which we know we are, that causes God to grant us mercy or show us mercy. It's only by his sovereign grace that he grants us mercy. Let's look at, real quick, Titus 3:5. I'll read it for you. Titus 3:5 says, he saved us not by works which we did in righteousness, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. Okay, there's nothing that we did. There's no works that we did, but he saved us. We couldn't earn it, but he saved us, not by our works that we thought we're doing in righteousness or we tried to do in righteousness. No, but according to his mercy alone, by being regenerated and renewed, given new life by the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 49:13 says this, sing, O heavens, be joyful, O earth, and break out in singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy, and will have mercy on his afflicted. Amen. So again, back to that picture of Israel. Each time that they would rebel against God, they would sin, they would, oh, Lord. As you read your Old Testament, you read through, it's heartbreaking at times to see how the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, how they would plead and they would go and say, turn from your sin. But Israel, God's own people, were so wicked at times, whoring themselves, as the prophet would say, with false gods, with pagan gods. But Isaiah says in 49, the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy on his afflicted. Amen. You have one more quote there from Thomas Watson, another Puritan. He says, every day we see a new tide of mercy coming in. The wings of mercy have covered us. The breast of mercy has fed us. What snares laid for us have been broken. What fears have blown over. He has taken such care of us as if he had no one else to take care of. Never was the cloud of providence so black or so bleak, but we might see a rainbow of love in that cloud. We have been made to swim in a sea of mercy. Does not all this call for thankfulness? So, question, does not all this call for thankfulness? Yes, indeed, absolutely, right? And then if you notice, there's three more blanks at the bottom of the page, but I think you if you read ahead, you already figured out that those are for you. You will fill those in, because I think it's good that starting today and through the week, let's remind ourselves, let's meditate on how great God's tender mercy has been. It's jot down and just think about how we want to thank the Lord for his compassionate, his tender mercies. Amen. Let's do so. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you once again. Lord, when we take a moment just to contemplate, to meditate on who you are, how merciful you are, how compassionate you are, how forgiving you are, and how many times you are so with us, Lord, how many times we fail you, How many times we outright rebel against you, and still you comfort your little ones. You have mercy on your little ones. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, I ask that you would bless my brothers and sisters, Lord, that they would continue to be that light in this dark world, Lord. That they too would go out and share your compassion, your goodness, your mercy, not only with one another, but with those who do not know you, Lord. Lord Jesus, we ask this for your glory and in your name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.